And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own head and see where it takes us. So I was driving around, like you do, out on the roads the other day, and I've been seeing a bunch of these brand new Mustangs, these electric Mustangs, and I think they look hideous. I think they look like those crossovers somewhere between a sedan and an SUV. And I look at it, and it's got the Mustang badge on it, Mustang brand. And I was thinking, is it really a Mustang? Is that what a Mustang is? I guess a Mustang is a sports car. It was released and designed as a little go-fast machine. Started off with a little V6, all sorts of good options. Cheaper than the competition, even though there wasn't really much competition within the sports car market. But within the sedan market, it was definitely a contender. Something new, something exciting. Spurred on all sorts of new competition, new bits of life within the auto industry. And so this new electric Mustang isn't a trendsetter. There's definitely been some electric sports cars that have come before this. But does it hold true to the Mustang name? No, I can't say for sure. I've never owned a Ford Mustang. But I look at all the other cars out there. This is through my purview. I think of cars like the Subaru Outback. I see that car and the general overall design hasn't changed. You kind of know exactly what you're getting. It's a station wagon with all-wheel drive. It goes anywhere in the snow, as far as I understand. And it's a Subaru. It'll last forever. But what about cars like the Honda Accord? Granted, the design has changed just a little bit over throughout the years. But it's still a basic, economical, simple enough car. Gets you from point A to point B. Definitely have some modification abilities to it. Kind of, again, what you get with the name. Pickup trucks, those have all stayed the same. But I guess pickup trucks seem to be simple enough. The only one that comes to mind right off the top of my head is the Toyota pickup finally got a name in the early 2000s, late 90s. Finally going from just a Toyota pickup to the Toyota Tacoma. Unless you were overseas and it was the Hilux. I think it is still the Hilux over there. Branding, simple enough. What do you get? And I think of, still within the car market, back in the early 2000s, Chrysler released their Chrysler 300. And that was actually a reinvention, a bringing back of a name, a resurrection, as you will, of the 300, a kind of classic car, the original 300 cubic inch engine from the old 50s. Got that old sedan up and running. But it was a classy car, a special car. And again, in the 2000s, they brought it back and very much a classy car, even though it was all plastic. That was its bigger downfall within the car review sections. And a year or two after that, Ford decided to bring back its Ford 500 name. And I felt the timing at that time was terrible because Chrysler had just released their 300. So Ford was like, we're going to bring back the 500. And apparently, in my opinion, the way I see it, the rest of the market saw how I did and did not agree with the Ford 500 name. They thought it was silly and BS competition. Oh, look, we've got two taller digits than the Chrysler 300. All similar bits of plastic and whatnot. And the sales for that car plummeted. They tanked. They weren't any good. So Ford did a little bit of rebranding and changed the Ford 500 back to the Ford Taurus. A little bit of name recognition. Kind of on par with the Honda Accord, but not as big of a name recognition. But after that, that same body style car, that same exact design between the Ford 500 and the Ford Taurus, sales skyrocketed. Again, in a general simplified term. All within that name recognition. We're getting a sedan, something simple. But what else do we get within brand and name recognition? Bands, musical artists seem to be simple enough. We all have heard about bands switching out drummers. Apparently everybody can do a simple enough fill. And the drummers are at the back of the stage. No one really cares. Unless the drummer is the lead part of the band. Kind of like Mick Fleetwood of Fleetwood Mac. But how many bands have cycled through significant numbers of artists? There's actually quite a few. The first band that came to my mind was Creedence Clearwater Revival had broken up. One of the band members had died. And the three of the members wanted to get back together, and the fourth one didn't, Tom Fogerty. And so the three remaining members decided to create Creedence Clearwater Revisited. And there was a little bit of a lawsuit, a spat, saying that he was the slight name change just to keep the letters, the initials of CCR, which they were most commonly known by, was going to be an issue. And that lawsuit fell through. There's plenty of other bands that have gone through transformations, switching out all sorts of members. A list within the show notes today that shows some bands have gone through 20, 30. I think one topped the little chart of this article at 79. How much of that is part of the gimmick? One of my favorite bands, the Melvins, every couple albums they switch through bass players. And this article says that the Melvins has a problem hanging on to bass players. And I find it as a unique opportunity to view music and understanding through a different light, bringing in new talent to expose new ideas. That's part of what I see the Melvins branding the name as. Get your two main members and switch up that bass player and change the rhythm. But other bands keep going through with the same name. They still have the same identity overall. Is the music kind of generally basically the same? The band named Yes is all out of founding members. There's one semi-original member, but it's not a part of the original lineup. How much do the name changes and whatnot hold and continue on with the band members as they cycle through and continue on? Who gets to hold the torch, hold the baton, and say that they are the band that is known as X, Y, or Z? There's one band that's listed within this article called Little River Band. Never heard of them. Went and I did some YouTube searching of them. That 1970s music can stay back there in the 1970s. Not my cup of tea, but that band, an Australian band, no longer has any of its founding members. There was even a lawsuit when one of the original groups, collections of individuals, wanted to go on tour, and they weren't allowed to because the other band, the original cycle of the band, current lineup of the band, however we're to describe it, was still using it. In production, owned the rights to it. So kind of funky, kind of crazy. And what do we think about with things like businesses, names within businesses? Do we think about what the parent company has to offer? What about their subsidiaries? Giant corporate conglomerates all have their faceless, nameless CEOs, their board of directors that we have no idea about. But we continue to shop with these businesses. Is it the specific series of products that they offer? Is it their basic message and how they have something to offer? Or is it just their prices, their ideals that we go through? Maybe something as simple as Walmart may not be the best stuff, but it's the only stuff in town and it's dirt cheap. You'll at least be able to afford it. And how do we look at things when names want to change? A simple, easy enough example is Facebook switching to Meta, or is that merely just a parent company that controls Facebook? No longer is the parent company Facebook, the parent company is now Meta. Almost like becoming a shell corporation, like Kroger owns stores like Fred Meyer and QFC. There's a story, or a store with a story, originated out here. There was a place called the Bon Marché, middle class clothing store that kind of went through a name change to become something a little bit different, a little bit more basic. But instead of a sharp, hard left turn into a name change, they did it tactfully and slowly. They went from the Bon Marché to the Bon, to Bon Macy's, and now Macy's. Not giving it a sharp change in name, not to say, hey, we're now some completely new name, but we're still the same company you've known and loved. Slow, easy change into something a little bit more appealing or easy to say. Something that doesn't sound as hoity-toity and upscale, even though, again, it was made around the middle-class workers. A hard left turn like that could definitely say, is that still the same place? We could walk in and see that it's similar enough. Maybe a different company overall, but from the original founding company. But it still holds the same basic ideals and principles, or so they say. And so what's in a name? How do we identify and relate and say whether or not it's the same thing as what we originally intended, we originally purchased? Going back to cars, the Ford Bronco has been a recently new re-release. We can thank a famous football player from back in 94 for killing off the name. The association of him within a white Ford Bronco going, what was it, 25, 35 down the freeway? 8 million cops behind him. That little incident destroyed the Ford Bronco name. No one wanted to be associated with that. And enough time has passed that Ford decided to bring back the original concept of the Bronco, an open-top, four-wheel drive, off-road machine. And according to, again, the car reviews, it seems to be pretty on par with the original goal, the original idea of the Bronco branding. Nothing too far out there has changed. Jeep Wranglers, can you tell me what year is what year from all the different body styles? They all look the same to me. But a branding, an image, design that we know and like and love and understand. And this is not something to really dive deep into, but again, one of those thought processes, those ideas, those concepts, just something to get us thinking a little bit further into what we see and how we understand, what we can reasonably expect, or can we sit there and question if we're getting the same deal as we originally signed up for. And before I wrap this up, before I close this out, kind of like to do a little bit of housekeeping, a little bit of update, a notice that while my move is not imminent, the stresses of getting everything ready to go has definitely been weighing on me and pushing on me. And while this podcast seems simple enough, and it's a small enough feat for me to be able to maintain, hopefully a simple enough branding of my ability to take us all through a walk through my mind, I need time to be able to focus on life here. And so I've got a hiatus coming up. This will be the last guaranteed podcast for the time being of at least a new sort, a new idea. But I've gone through, I wish I've had more time to do it better, but I've gone through and cleaned up the first 62 episodes that I released without modifying the content. And I've gone through and I've kind of cleaned up the audio, made it a little bit louder on the really quiet ones. I've taken out the excessive silence. And I'll be releasing a couple of those a week. Those will be set, scheduled to be coming out. So hopefully if you skip past those because the audio was terrible, or you decided to start somewhere in the middle, which is A-okay, or maybe you want to just have an ability to re-listen, re-experience, maybe get, again, those ideas flowing and turning, is a simple enough idea of flowing. Those will be coming out. And if I have time and energy and the brain power available to myself, I will release a new episode, but I can't guarantee a schedule for the next couple months. So I would like to ask for your patience. I'd like to ask for your support, be that monetarily or just a matter of sharing the show, getting those ideas out there, getting gears turning with not only your own head, but everybody else's minds, seeing if we can find some modicum, some level of common ground. I would like to very much thank everybody that has supported me thus far, again, either through donations or just sharing the show, emails and communications. It's been awesome. The support is fantastic. Thank you for putting up with me and being patient, and especially those who put up with the first couple years of my refusal, my stubbornness to take out the excess silence. For those of you who put up with the less than perfect audio quality, thank you for putting up with me and letting me get this far. I do anticipate a return. I didn't start this to quit. If I'm lucky, this becomes a retirement gig for me. But all of that depends on future support. But that's okay. So I want to again say thank you. Keep your eyes open for those new re-releases, or the re-releases, however I'm supposed to say it. Hopefully they meet a minimum expectation. Hopefully they're worth re-listening to. And I'm Billy Bones, B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on Twitter and Gab, at Billy Bones. You can find me on Mastodon, the Fediverse, at Billy Bones, at noagendasocial.com. There you get the short little clips and comments, ability to say hey at the very least. See if you can find one of my posts and do a simple enough repost and a share of the show days. But if you need a longer form communication, or you want to subscribe with your podcatcher real easy, or you want to find show notes, there's a website, billybones.com. Again, that's spelt with the number 3 instead of an E. And there you can find, again, those show notes. You can find links to the music that I use in the podcast. And also on the website, you find a link that says value for value, because this is a value for value podcast. If you found value out of this episode or the entire collection of episodes, fantastic. I'm glad you did. The first thing that I ask you that you do is you give the show a share. But if you found value out of it, monetary value, like today's executive producer, Miss Betty, thank you very much for your $4.20 monthly donation to help me keep this show alive, keep this show on the air, keep me going. You can be like Miss Betty. Go again to billybones.com, scroll all the way down, click that value for value button, and it'll take you to PayPal. You can chip in, you can donate, you can support the show once with a simple, small, easy donation, or a massive, large, giant donation, be it one time or monthly. But thank you very much for listening. Thank you for your support. I hope you find, again, those conversations, those talking points, those gears to turn within your own head, and get the conversation started. And while I won't talk to you next week, I will talk to you as soon as I can. Thank you.